Fine. It is great to be back. Good to see everyone. The topic which I want to get us started on, and this is going to be a multi-week exploration, is the malacha of tochen, right? So in the Mishkan, one of the things they're doing, maybe this isn't exactly what the malacha is based on, but the basic definition of tochen is to grind. You take wheat, let's say, and you grind it into flour, and that would be tochen. Maybe you make a mincha, whatever it is, depending on exactly how you define the malachos, but that's the classic case of tochen. You're grinding, let's say, wheat to go and make flour. So most people in their Shabbos kitchens are not going to be grinding wheat to make flour, last time I checked. But there are many, many, many applications of things which seem like tochen. The question is, what is tochen? How do we define it? Is it based on dicing? Is there a difference between dicing and mashing? Does it matter if it was already ground once before, like we have bishel achar bishel? Is there an idea of tochen achar tochen? Does it matter how soft the item is? There's many, many questions which hopefully we will have the opportunity to discuss. Today's shiur is not going to be so halacha lemaisa. It's really going to be opening the topic because, as we'll see, it's really, this isn't the perfect word, but it's a little bit of a balagan, how to define the malacha of tochen. And I want to take a look at that with you. And I also want to, just as we're doing this, I want to keep one question in the back of our heads, which is, if I make an Israeli salad on Shabbos, is there any problem of tochen? If I chop everything up nice and small, is that going to be a malach of tochen? That's like a guiding question, and then we'll see the sources and we'll see if that will help shed light on our understanding. Okay, so let's just start with one source. The Gemara in Shabbos has a one-liner, and this one-liner gets quite a bit, I guess a two-liner, gets quite a bit of press, quite a bit of discussion about exactly what is going on. So Amar of Papa, comes along and he says, Hai man de parim, and some of the Rishonim have paris, I don't know exactly what the difference between those two words are, but we'll call it parim throughout the shir. So Hai man de parim silka, if you go and you, I'm not going to translate the word parim, but if you are porem, silka, I think is translated as beets. So if you take beets and you are porem them, chayiv mishum tochen. You have just violated iser d'oraisa of tochen. You have just violated tochen. Okay, and then the Gemara continues. Amr of Menashe, Haiman desalis silsi. Hard to translate this one. Someone who soles means flour. If someone flours flour, chayiv mishum tochen. Then that is also a chiyuv of tochen. And if you care about the length of this solace which you impacted, so then not only are you chayv for tochen, but you're chayv for mechatech as well, which is not our malacha for today, but hopefully we'll get back to that. So what does it mean to be parim? That's our first question. What does it mean to be parim? That this is going to be a chiyuv of tochen. And again, in the back of our heads, I want to keep in mind, will you be chayv if you go and you dice a salad? So if you look at Rashi says, that's exactly what we're talking about. Salad is mincer. Sounds like a pretty good similar word we have to something we have nowadays, to mince something, belaz. Lachtoch lechatichos ktanos, it means you cut something into very small pieces. Mechadcho hadek, you're cutting in very, very small. Okay, and then, agav, I'll just read the next Rashi. Also, what does it mean, desali silsi, that you're flouring flour? I didn't translate that because you can't translate that without a Rishon telling you what it means. He says what it means is etzim dakin, you're cutting wood, and you're turning them into wood chips, lahavir esh, in order to then use those wood chips. I guess wood chips are good to get a fire going. So you're cutting big piece of wood into small piece of wood. Says Rashi, if you do that, you are chayiv for tochen. And then the Gemara continued and said, if you care about exactly how big each wood chip is, you care about the sizing so much, so then you could be chayiv for mechatech as well. Okay, so that's Rashi. If you look at Rabbeinu Chananel says, nah, that is not the understanding of what parim means. It says Rabbeinu Chananel, Hatochen Amar of Papa Haiman de Parim Silka. So he quotes the Gemara and he says, what does it mean to be Parim Silka? Perush Kein Kisisha, the low Kein Chituch. Rabbeinu Chananel says, no. There's no such thing as Tochen of Chituch. Chituch means to cut. There's no such thing as being chai for Tochen when you cut things. We don't cut pieces of wheat when you put a wheat, kernel under the mill. You don't cut it. Rather, it's Kein Kisisha. Kisisha means to go and smash it. If you're smashing something, that could be a problem of tochen. But just Kein Chitoch, he says, that's not going to be chayiv. That wouldn't be chayiv. So you're only if you were to be kosesh would be chayiv mishum tochen. V'chein man desali silsi, he says, what does that mean then? How is he going to explain the wood chips if you're not going to be chayiv unless you're actually smashing something? So this I don't have total clarity on. Maybe someone can help me out. But he says, the reason you're chayiv is because Perish atze dekalim, you're taking these wood of a dekel, of a a palm tree. Sha'omdim shivi shivi. I don't know how to translate that. The palm trees stand shivi shivi. That's not a word I've ever seen before. Ke'en nimin, like strings. So I guess they're like in little, I imagine it means like they're layered, like they're stringy. If anyone's ever taken a look at a palm tree, maybe you'll understand what he's referring to. U'cheshemifarek ha'nimin, when you pull apart the threads, halalu yotze beinis kemein kenach dak. What comes out is a little bit of flower. When you pull apart the palm tree branch, I don't know exactly what this looks like, but flower comes out when you do that. And says Rabbeinu Chananel, you're only chayiv when you create this kind of dust. When you're smashing something into dust, that's when you're going to be chayiv. If you're just cutting something, he says that's not a problem of tochen. Yeah.
He's using that as an example of this is what it looks like.
No, he's defining it. This thing sola silti, which the Gemara doesn't tell you what it is, he's saying that is referencing taking apart the threads of a palm branch, which would then create this dust, and that would be a chiyuv of tochen because you're creating this dust. So these are going to be toldos. The av malacha is I take a kernel of wheat and I put it into a mill. But the question is, so how do you extrapolate from that to?
What's this example of the palm frond taking it from a tree? Why is he using it? Where is that coming from?
So that's his translation. Where did he get it from is a good question. The Gemara just said, sali silti is chayiv. So he's...
My question is he saying that is like an act of the same thing as milling, or is he just saying that powder that you see, if you get to that
consistency.
That's what you want to avoid. Is that what...
Well, he must be saying that if you make wood chips out of a palm tree, you're going to end up with this flower-like substance. That's why it's awesome.
Right. If you end up with a flower-like substance, then it's usher. Like if that weren't the case, wood chips aren't a problem in and of themselves.
Okay, so it's about consistency? That's what he's trying to get?
Yeah, so it sounds like it's a consistency idea. That's from his next example.
Right,
so only by wood...
So
he doesn't talk about... He clearly disagrees with Rashi. He says you would not be chayv if you were to go and... Be chotech, if you were to go and cut pieces of... if you were to be cut this beet, you'd only be chayv if you mashed it. So I guess mashing and turning into dust are both, for him, the idea of tochen. If not, so then you're not in tochen territory.
Salad is okay, guacamole.
Yeah, so let's summarize the Rabbeinu Chananel. Salad's okay, but guacamole would be a problem. That's where Rabbeinu Chananel would come out. Okay? The Rush is riddled with girsa problems. It's not even clear if there's a girsa problem or what happened. I gave you just the line which isn't a girsa problem. But before that, he said a whole bunch of things which there's a lot of discussion about. But it seems the Rush agrees with Rabbeinu Chananel. He says, Umasha pirish Rashi, the parim silka shemechate chirakos dak dak. That which Rashi said, that this parim silka thing is when you cut it into very small pieces, perish tamuahu. He says, that is an absolutely wild thing to say. That you'd be chai for tochen, for making small pieces of tomatoes or cucumbers. How can that be? Shuhu ochel umechatech oso dak dak in shayach beit chino. He doesn't tell you what his problem is, but he says, I have something which is food, and I'm going to cut it so small. How can that be a problem with tochen?
I don't think they had tomatoes.
You don't think they had tomatoes. Okay, so cucumbers or peppers or choose your favorite Israeli, I guess Babylonian vegetable. But they says with the Rosh, it can't be that there's a problem of tochen to cut vegetables so small. He says, that's ridiculous. He doesn't tell you why it's ridiculous. He says it's ridiculous. The Korban Sanel, one of the classic commentators on the Rosh, I think he lives around the 1600s. So he says, Ein shayach beitchina. What does the Rosh mean? Ki haTorah lo nitna shir le'echol chatichos ketanos. The Torah doesn't tell you how to eat your food. You can eat small pieces of food. The Torah says, Shabbos is, you avoid malacha, but food, you can eat your food the way you eat your food. So, interesting, you know, exactly how far you take that, what exactly that means, where would you apply that? I don't know. But the Rosh says, there's no way that there's a problem cutting vegetables for tochen. And it seems he sides with Rabbeinu Chananel that there's only going to be a problem of mashing, but cutting things very small is not going to be an issue. You look at Tosfos throws another monkey wrench in. Every single person has like a, not person, every single Rishon has their own, you know, a little bit of toe and beer. You got to figure out how are they looking at this malacha that they're saying what they're saying. Tosfos over there, if you look on source one, I put it at the end of source one in the brackets. Tosfos over there says, Haiman depart silka. So you're doing something to the beets. Rashi said it means to cut. He says, Davka besilka shaykh tchina, aval shar ochlin shari. The only vegetable where you could have a tochen problem is beets. All other foods are okay. Anyone want to give me any explanation for why that would be?
I have no idea
either. I don't know.
It's almost, it feels like it's kind of expired and you couldn't eat it otherwise.
Good. Okay. So the Tosfos HaRosh adds a line. He says, only silka and davar shedarko bekach, and not other ochlin. So Tosos Harosh, the other version of the Tosos, amends it a little bit, so it's not just saying beets, but beets and other things which you need to go and slice, which you need to dice in order to make it edible. I don't know, I'll be honest, I don't know if I've ever had a raw beet. Are raw beets, you know, that's something people eat? No one eats a raw beet. Not anymore, not edible, even if you were to dice it. So I guess they're cutting it in order to then cook it.
You could eat it.
Okay.
Couldn't bite into it.
You couldn't just bite into a beet.
How is beet sugar made?
How is beet sugar made? That, I'm way past my favorite. They don't teach us this in rabbinical school.
It's probably extracted.
Yeah, so I'm guessing what he means is then that beets, in order to eat them, you have to generally cut them first and then cook them. So only... You could cook them whole. So then I don't know exactly what makes beet something which is darko bekach to cut. You're saying maybe it's for the dyeing properties. Right, the dush would be another issue, so I don't know. Right. Stain your shirt. Yeah, so I don't know. The Achronim are not sure whether Tosos, some of them take them very literally. Something magic about beets. Only beets have an issue of tochen. Your Israeli salad won't be an issue, but... Yeah, it's going to be an uncooked beet.
Okay.
So,
like, why not potato?
What about a potato?
There were no potatoes.
I think potatoes are a new world.
Yeah.
Potatoes are a new world. Okay. We're learning a lot of science today. This is fantastic. I guess history. Fine. So Tosfos throws in silka. Maybe it's other things which require cutting down to be cooked, or maybe they would eat raw beets. I don't know if that's possible. Someone will get back to me about whether that's possible. Maybe certain things, if you cut it, if you dice it, you could eat it. Okay. That's good. We'll get back to it. Yeah. So again, I'm not sure, but that's Tosfos says that your salad, your pickles, your cucumbers, and your tomatoes probably would not be an issue. That's the simple understanding of Tosfos. According to even the other explanations, there's something preparatory you need to do to cut it. So I think you can just bite out of a cucumber, a tomato, etc. So probably he wouldn't think that there's an issue with an Israeli salad. Okay, the Rambam has another fascinating opinion. Everyone has their own knesh. The Rambam comes along, and the Rambam's trying to tell you, what's a tolda? Right? So we haven't talked about this too much. But there's the av malacha, which is what they would actually do in the Mishkan. Then we have toldos, which are also d'oraisa. They're similar to them. So Rambam says, let me teach you what a tolda is. And his example is tochen. He says, ha-tolda, hi ha-melacha ha-dome le-av me'elu ha-avos. A tolda is something which is similar to the av of one of these avos, the avos which he mentioned before, the 39 av malachos. So ketzad, ha-mechatech es hayerek me'at me'at levashla. So this is the definition of tochen. This is how he's understanding the Gemara about ha-man deparim silka. He says, if someone cuts a yerek, cuts a vegetable, very, very small to cook it, so this malacha of cutting things very small, and then he also threw in this word to cook it. So that's chayiv because that's a form of tchina. Tochen, what is tochen? Lokech guf echad umechalko legufim harbe. Tochen by definition is I have one entity and then I break it down into particle form. I break it into many, many pieces. Right? I have a wheat kernel and I break it down into much, much smaller pieces. So it's over here. If I cut a yerek, dak, so I'll be chayiv. The question which everyone deals with is, well, why do you throw in the word levashla? You're cutting it to cook it. So is he just saying, well, why would you cut it if not to cook it? You know, you could eat things without cooking them. Why does he have to say you're cutting it in order to cook it? Is that important or is that not important? So it's hard to say it's not important because the Rambam, again, if you look 14 prakim later, in source 5, he says, ha-mechatech es hayerek dak, kedei levashlo, harei ze toldos tochen v'chai. He says it again. So if it was really not an important detail, it wouldn't seem to make sense for him to say it in two places that you're just doing it in order to be mevashal.
Yeah, so it seems like the Rambam is still okay by Rambam because it don't do mevashal.
Say again?
Israeli salad would be okay for Rambam.
Right. The Rambam presumably would say that Israeli salad is just fine because I'm not doing it to cook. Why does cooking make a difference? So the explanation which the Beis Yosef, first of all, isn't sure what he means. Does he mean I'm cutting it because this food is inedible until I cook it? Meaning cooking it is necessary, and so I cut things first in order to, I don't know, I make my chicken soup. So I'm trying to think of a vegetable I couldn't eat. Parsnip. I take my parsnip and I throw it into my chicken soup. So that's a vegetable if I were to cut it small. So it's a preparatory act which I need to do before it's not yet ready. After tolkien's done, I still need to do another stage. It's a preparatory act in order to go and eat it. Just like when you crush wheat, right? You crush wheat, you have flour, you can't eat the flour. You have to do something with the flour. So maybe the Rambam understood the same way tolkien always is preparatory. It's a step removed from the actual eating, but you have to do it cutting in order to cook it. Or the Beis Yosef says, maybe it's not something definitionally which you had to cook, but just as long as you plan on cooking, there's something magical about cooking. If your plan is to cook it, so then you're not allowed to do tolkien when you're going to be cooking it very soon. Either way, Israeli salad, would the Rambam say I'm chai for making Israeli salad?
Probably not,
right? There's no cooking going on over here. If you're going to grind peppercorns...
Like, if you take a mortar and pestle, put, like, peppercorns in it, go like this, and then you put it on your salad. You're not cooking it.
Right. So...
Like, wouldn't that still be... Maybe because that's the out and not a told, it would still be absurd? Does it have to be for cooking?
Is it cooking? Oh, you're saying it's only...
If he's implying that cutting something for cooking is a problem, so if you're just going to take slices and grind them up...
So the answer might be yes. I just want to read it further in that Rambam in source 4. So he gives another example. He says, "B'chein alokeach lashon shel mateches." Let's say you take a slab of metal, v'shaf oso k'dei likach mi'afaro. So what do? You scrape it, and so that you can take from the dust of the metal. K'derech she'osim tzor ve'yahazav. I don't know exactly what this looks like, but you have these people, these smiths, who would take, I guess, thin strips of metal. And so if you were to, I guess, scrape off little tiny shavings of metal, says the Rambam, that also, Harizet told us tchina. So there, obviously, I'm not cooking. I'm not, you know, this isn't going to be in my Israeli anything. This is not going to make it to my kitchen table. But still, it's tolkien. So why is this a tolda for the Rambam?
Yeah, because one slice, the other one's actually grinding. Grinding, nobody argues that grinding is rough. But the slicing is something, is it like grinding? That's why when you put pepper on the food, you grind in the pepper. So that I think everybody would agree that this is grinding. But here it's the vegetables, which is not really grinding.
Great. Okay, so I did see something like that. Some people say that what the Rambam thinks is that you need to be doing something transformational. What you're doing has to be making a big difference on this item. Regularly, you take a kernel of wheat and you crush it. So it looks totally different after you've crushed it than before. But if you would take a cucumber and you cut it into small pieces, so small pieces versus slightly bigger pieces, it's still the same cucumber. It doesn't look that different. So you have to do something more than that. It has to be preparatory for Bishul, such that it would... You're planning on making a process which is going to transform this object. But maybe whenever you have a shaving or you're crushing something, so the Rambam would say automatically we've already reached transformational enough territory. But there's different explanations for exactly how to understand what the Rambam thought over here. I'll just throw out the Ritva seems to say something similar to the Rambam. If you look in source 6, he says, "Hi, mam deparim silka chayv mishum tochen pirish rizal." So he quotes the Ri, the Bala Tosfos. He says, "Didavka behasha eino ochel kamoshu chay." It's only something which you cannot eat raw parsnip. Aval bepas v'chayotzebo. But if you had something like bread or something like that, shiroi laochel la'alter harehem humutter. If you decide I'm going to go and dice some bread, so that's going to be totally fine because you could have eaten it the way it is anyways. So tomatoes, cucumbers, there would be no tolkien according to the Ritva. Maybe I'll just for time's sake, so I'll just say what's the source which they're all trying to figure out? Where are all these ideas coming from? So one suggestion is that there's this Mishnah in source 7. You're allowed to go and cut up. Diluin are a sort of gourd, some sort of pumpkin-like thing. You're allowed to cut those up before a behemoth and a nevela in a club, and you're allowed to cut up a nevela in front of a caliph. So why should that be? So a lot of the explanations are because that's what these Rishonim are trying to answer. The Rambam says, because you won't be cooking it, and that's what makes it okay. Or maybe these things are edible the way they are chai, and so as long as they're edible chai, so that's going to be okay. So there's this Mishnah which throws in this little bit of a monkey wrench, which might have been why everyone's putting these caveats on the malacha. We don't need to see the rash.
Specifically say gourds in front of an animal because animals can eat
Right, an animal could eat a gourd chai, but a human can't. Right, exactly. Or a kelev could eat a nevela, but if you were to try and do this for a human, maybe you actually would, it would be also because a human won't be eating a raw steak. The Rashba, we don't need to see inside. We're going to see it inside in depth, I think, probably next week. The Rashba is talking about in 2 weeks, excuse me, next week we are off, that's correct. So the Rashba was asked, are you allowed to go and break down bread? And his answer basically is it's usur. You're not allowed to do tochen, you're not allowed to cut up bread. The one exception he has is if you do it for immediate use. There's this whole heter, which we'll talk about in 2 weeks. The Rashba said, if you're doing something for immediate use, something we see by Borer also, it's going to be okay. But the Rashba is the only one who seems to say that cutting up things very small might be a problem of tochen. And then he says, unless it's for immediate use. But if you're making your Israeli salad in the morning and your meal isn't for another 4 hours, whatever it is, so then the Rashba would tell you have a problem. So maybe let's just recap. What do we have? We have this very vague Gemara, Haiman Deparim Silka is Chayev, and everyone's trying to figure out, what does this mean? What is the Malach of Tochi? So we have Rashi who says you're cutting it up. The Rashba also says you're cutting it up. It seems like if you cut things up for them, you would be Chayev. Tosfo says only beets. Beets are something magical about beets, or maybe something like beets. The Rambam says you have to be trying to cook it. The Ritva seems to say that it has to be inedible the way it is in order to be Chayev. If it's edible the way it is, so then there's not going to be a chiyuv of tochen. So how would you expect the Shulchan Aruch to paskin? What's
He has to take all that in consideration because it's their rice. So if Rashi said it's chayev and it's their rice, then he has to consider Rashi. There's no...
Okay, let me ask. I hear what you're saying. You're saying it's deoraisa, on a deoraisa we should be machmir. You're right. The Beis Yosef has a klal that he always says, I'm going to just look at three opinions, and I will paskin the majority. That's what he claims to do, and he always does that except for when he doesn't. But what's his klal? He says there's three rishonim I want to look at. If I can get two of the three on the same page, we're done. So what are the three?
The Rambam.
That's one. Not the Ran actually, although I'm a big fan of the Ran, but he didn't include that in his list. The Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush. If you have the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush, he says I'm just looking at those three in terms of psak halacha. When I have two out of three, I paskin like that shita. So in terms of Israeli salad, the Rif is unclear. He just quotes the Gemara. The Rif just quotes Gemaras. So he doesn't only do that, but over here he just quotes Gemaras. So the Rif, who knows what the Rif holds. The Rush told us there's not a problem unless it's unless you're smashing. There's no problem of cutting according to the Rush. He holds like Rabbeinu Chananel. The Rambam thinks if I'm not planning on cooking it, so certainly there's not an issue. So you'd expect the Shulchan Aruch to say, if you're cutting something without planning, you're cutting, not mashing, if you're cutting something without planning for cooking, we should be in kosher territory. So comes along the Shulchan Aruch, you look in source 10, and he says something which is a little bit of a surprise. He says, HaMechateich HaYerek, Dak, if you cut vegetables, any vegetables it sounds like, very small, you are Chayev Mishum Tochen. He doesn't just say it's Aser. He says Chayev. What's Chayev mean? Chayev means you just violated Deoraisa. You would... The base of Mikdash were around, you'd bring a korban if you did it b'shogeg, and there'd be skila if you did it b'mezid. I mean,
yerek is any vegetable?
Yerek is a vegetable. That translation of yerek is vegetables. So any vegetable came along the Shulchan Aruch, and he threw this big chumrah at everyone. Do Sfarim follow this? So we'll get there maybe in a moment. Not just Sfarim. The Ramad doesn't really disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. So what happens? So the Aruch HaShulchan... says, what is going on? He says, Upela al Rabbeinu HaBeis Yosef, b'Shulchan Aruch. He says, it is a pella. It is shocking that the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, is paskening this way. B'Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud Beis. She saw some dvar of legami le'isser. He just writes that it's aser. That's all. V'zeh l'shono, m'chati chayuk tak tak chayim mishum tochin ad kan l'shono. He just says it's aser, it's chayim. V'zeh de lo kia Rambam. It's not like the Rambam. V'lo ketosos. V'harosh. It's not like the Tosos or the Rosh. V'lo kia Rashba. It's not like the Rashba because the Rashba would allow it if you were doing it for immediate use. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it's okay, even if it's for immediate use. So it's not like the Rashba, Beharan, which we didn't talk about, Ela Kedas Rashi. He's just paskening like Rashi. Beharei Be'emes Ein Mi Rashi Achreya. In the truth, you can't even prove anything from Rashi. Rashi just says you're cutting a silka. Maybe he holds like Tosos. Maybe he thinks there's something special about silka, about beets. Who knows what Rashi holds? Rashi just says you were cutting a silka. That's all he said. So the Shulchan Aruch paskening like Rashi against everyone. V'hu pirish rak deparim havidak dak v'ulai sfilei gam ken ketosos. Right, I just said that. U'mizeh muchach d'refuyehu mirafi b'yado pirusho b'yaram. Okay, so he has a reason for why he thinks the Beis Yosef did that. L'chomash ha'kasavnu. L'chein kasav stam d'chayim mishum tochein. Whatever the Aruch HaShulchan gives some sort of explanation for why he thinks Shulchan Aruch said what he said, but he says v'tzarchin at the end. Rav Avadya says, no. You misunderstood this whole Shulchan Aruch. If you look back in the Beis Yosef, I didn't put on the sheet. Beis Yosef says, goes through this whole calculation. He goes through all the Rishonim. And the Shulchan Aruch, I have the Lashon in my notes over here. The Beis Yosef has a line. He says, Hilkach nireh dilakule al-mashari. It seems, says the Beis Yosef, that he's talking about cutting salatin. Salatin is lettuce. If you were to cut up lettuce for a salad, the Beis Yosef wrote in his earlier work, the Beis Yosef, that everyone would say that this is mutter. It's a good idea still to tell people to go and cut them a little bit bigger, shiochu la'alter, and to try and do it for immediate use. We'll talk about that more next week. V'chol ki agavna, and then no one would have any issues whatsoever. So Rav Avadya says, when the Shulchan Aruch came along and he said, you're chayev if you cut vegetables, what he really meant is, it's a good idea to be machmir. It's really mutter, but you should be machmir. It's a good idea. So Rav Avadya writes in a tshuva, he says, for Sfaradim, you could do this. It's okay if you do it. You don't need to be moche. You don't need to go and make a whole, you know, take out your banners and start yelling chants or anything like that. It's okay if a Sfaradi goes and cuts things, but they should be machmir, because the Shulchan Aruch said at the end of the day that when he said chayiv, he meant you should watch out for this a little bit. So it's a very shocking explanation if you think about it. So good question. So I think it's like a very fundamental question about the way we read the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes in his introduction that this book is a Kitzer Sefer. What I want you to do is I want you to read my Beis Yosef. In the Beis Yosef, he quotes every single thing everyone said. He goes through everything, he asks questions, he gives answers. And the Shulchan Aruch, he says, just so you can quickly chazer what I said in the Beis Yosef, so I gave you this book. I think he says you should be able to chazer the entire Shulchan Aruch every month. Yeah, because it's until we added, you know, the Taz and the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurahs, it's not so much text. And whatever, this is just my short version so you can remember. So Rav Avadya's way of answering these issues is, okay, the Beis Yosef is really, you know, that's the real, you know, the real work. And if the Shulchan Aruch seems like there's a stira to the Beis Yosef, so, okay, whatever. You know, he wasn't writing it with bediktuk gadol, he wasn't careful about every single word because he assumed you just read the Beis Yosef, and you're doing Chazara, so it's not a problem. It's a good question. So I'm not touching the Ramah just yet. We're going to get to the Ramah next week. The Ramah is going to be making like the Rashba. So we'll talk about that next week. There's another approach, which is the Tumim says the Shulchan Aruch was, the Tumim of Yonasan Haibshitz. He says the Shulchan Aruch was written with Ruach HaKodesh. It's quite a statement. He says, the only reason the Shulchan Aruch was accepted in all of Klal Yisrael, can you imagine everyone agreeing on one thing in Judaism? So we all agree, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, that we're going to follow them. So he says, the Shulchan Aruch, the reason it was accepted was because it was written with Ruach HaKodesh. Anything he says, even if it's not what he meant, later Mepharshim say, even if it's not what he meant, if he wrote it, that's you know, like a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, and we have to follow it. That's another approach. And then Poskim will say, forget about what he said in the Beis Yosef. That wasn't written with Ruach HaKodesh. Follow what he said in Shulchan Aruch. He said Chayev. So we have to go and somehow defend Chayev. So that's how Rav Avadya does. And I'm not saying that's what we're doing, but that is another approach. Rav Avadya is taking the opposite approach. Rav Avadya is saying, calm down. Don't worry so much about the Lashonos in the Shulchan Aruch. Follow what it says in the Beis Yosef. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, though, so maybe we defended the Shulchan Aruch a little bit. The Mishnah Berurah says something which is, I don't know, shocking even without a good explanation exactly for how to defend it, and all the later Achronim don't try and defend it. The Mishnah Berurah says, "V'acholchim abitzalim v'atznon dak dak." If you find someone who cuts an onion or cuts a radish, very very small, sha oshtaim kodem asuda, they do it not immediately before the suda, but they do it a few hours beforehand. Karov hadavar lomar shechayev chatas. So first of all, they might be chayev chatas. It might be an isur d'oraisa. V'abitzalim asurim be'achila, and you're not allowed to eat the onions. The onions now become usur to eat. There's a rule of Maisa Shabbos. If someone does a malacha on Shabbos, you can't benefit from that malacha. But the reason this is shocking, because the Mishnah Berurah says many times elsewhere that whenever you have a machlokas about anything, even if we say it's asur, don't do it, if there was a machlokas about it, you can be mekel b'diyevid that the thing's not asur. So here not only do you have a machlokas, you had like the vast majority of opinions saying this would be just fine, and the Mishnah Berurah is saying, don't touch it afterwards. It's asur. So Rav Avadya has a language, I don't know how to translate it. He says, V'imo haslicha. I was debating, does that mean that he should apologize to us or we should apologize to him? But shehifri zalamita. The Mishnah Berurah went too far. You can't say, that's too far. If someone dices vegetables very, very small, so the thing's not going to be us or b'diavad. Okay. Okay. Right, you'd still have the rush who says you're allowed you're always allowed to cut things. You'd still have the Rambam that if you're cutting, if you're not going to be cooking it, it's going to be fine. But you're right. You're right. Beets and radishes are onions and radishes are less edible than a carrot. That's for sure. Okay, so you're saying maybe he was referring to that, and then for some reason he's not willing to rely on the rush b'di'evit about cooking things. Fine. So Rav Avadya says it's going to be okay b'di'evit. Rav Wiederblank, one of my rebbeim, told me the same. Rav Rimon says the same thing. Everyone says b'di'evit. We do not rely on this. We do the opposite of relying. We are not machmir for this mishnah berurah. Fine. So at the end of the day, the minhag in Klal Yisrael, and we're going to get to exactly how to make your salads in 2 weeks. But we're machmir. We don't dice salads. Certainly when you have none of the kulas, when you're doing it for 2 hours later and not for immediate use, you can't dice a salad because the Shulchan Aruch said we should be machmir about that. So how small is dicing? How small is this dak thing? Nowadays halach lemaisa, right? How small can I cut it? It's hard to should have like a workshop and you know do different sizes and say is this tochen or is that tochen? What?
I said knife skills.
Knife skills, yeah, knife skills workshop. Nah, yes. I don't have any knife skills, but maybe someone else could do the. So the Yireim writes, I have no idea. The Yireim, the early one of the Rishonim says, Amrav Menashe Haiman Desal Silta Chaim Mishum Tochin Hilkach Yizar Adam Shlo Yashlich Peres LePerurin Dakin. Therefore, do not ever cut your fruits into small pieces. Vishir Dikukusam Uferusam Lo Yadati Levar. I have no idea of explaining how to explain how small you can't cut. Yireim says, I'm not sure. So all the Achronim try and figure out exactly what the right shear is.
When the Rambam
said she
ate something
on the parrot, which is the
end of
the way that they understand that Rambam, there's multiple explanations of that Rambam. One explanation of that Rambam is what he's saying is something which is edible raw. Parrot is another way of saying something which is edible raw, so there's no issue of tochein. Even midrabanan. And so you're right that that's not in line with what the Yireim is saying, but the Rambam and the Yireim aren't on the same. Yeah. They aren't on the same page on this one. Fine. So one of the issues is we said that according to Rashi, cutting into wood chips is going to be chayv. Right? We saw Rashi by wood chips says if you cut wood into wood chips, so that's going to be chayv. How big is a wood chip? So I don't really know, but they're not you know teeny tiny. Okay, either one.
Rashi said
it was lahavir ish to go and start a fire. So presumably they're not like you know so small that you couldn't even hold them. I'm saying there's a certain size to these things. So the question is, so how big is that? That's going to be a problem. Right. So if it's this size for the people on the recorder, it's about yay big. Say again. Okay, at the very least, it's tofu.
Like,
right, but mukta is not going to give you skila. So you know, we're throwing the book at you. We're giving you the worst that we can. But one of the issues they deal with is okay. So what? A wood chip? The size of a wood chip is a problem. I mean, the size of a wood chip presumably is you know could get pretty big. Most salads you've ever seen probably are the size of wood chips or smaller. So you can't do that. So what most poskim say is that it depends on the item. So. They say, like, there's different explanations given. I'll say, like, I think what the classic, like, I'll just tell you, I've got my notes here. The Bris Olam says that whatever the norm is usser. So by wood chips, whatever the norm is, that's a problem. If you do bigger, then it's okay. But by fruits and vegetables, which you normally cut smaller, so you can do a little bit bigger than that norm. And even though that's smaller than a wood chip, it's okay because everything follows its own, you know, whatever is normal for dicing it. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach over here, you can see it inside later, has a big chiddush. He says, the rule is that it's only tochen if you don't need to do anything else to fulfill its purpose. So a wood chip is ready to burn right there the moment that you cut it into the size. He says, a cucumber, if I still need to chew it, it's not done. I haven't finished the tochen I need to do on it. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has this huge kula. He basically says, as long as you would chew the piece, you're not in tochen territory. I mean, you have to like, super duper knife skills to get into tochein territory, I imagine, for according to Shlomo Zalman Aruch. I don't think poskim generally follow that view. I think at least what I was always told was you should be cutting bigger than you normally cut your salads. That's kind of like how the Beis Ozu says, like, just stay away from the issue. And then maybe we'll just finish off with one thing from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe has this amazing tshuva in Orach Chaim Chelek Dalet. Rav Eider wrote a sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, which I'm sure was great. I haven't ever opened it up. But one of the biggest things which he did for Klal Yisrael was he gave Rav Moshe a list of like 100 questions. He said, Rav Moshe, hey, I'm writing a sefer. Can you... He did a bunch of wonderful things for Klal Yisrael. But one of them was he had Rav Moshe just say, can you please answer these 100 questions on Hilchos Shabbos? And we would have no idea of knowing what Rav Moshe held on anything had Rav Eider not asked him, because then he said, okay, fine, I'll answer. And he gives 1 to 2 paragraph answers to each and every one of these questions. It's this enormous tshuva. He goes through each malacha, malacha by malacha by malacha. So in there, he has a section on tochein. And he was asked, can you cut things into strips? If I cut something into a strip of peppers, or let's say, is that a problem of tochein? A very, very thin strip. So it's thin, but it's long. So Rav Moshe, if you just jump to the tshuva, he says, no. He says, it's not a problem. Rak tchina kizu shayich sham. He says, by a wood chip it would be a problem. By food, that's not a problem. Once you're going to tell me that's a problem, then how do you figure out what's a problem, what's not a problem? He says, what, I can't cut my bread too small? If it weren't for another shir we're going to have on tochen achar tochen. You're going to say, what? If you cut an apple into 4 slices, you're done, you just violated tochen? How can that be? Leka gvul, if you're going to start saying things like this, are usur. Has to be in all, with the right dimensions, width, height, and depth, whatever it is, has to be small in all ways. Only if you reach that dak in all directions, only then have you reached tochein. Mitzvah Hashem, next time we meet, which is in 2 weeks, so we'll talk about the heter of la'altar, we'll talk about some of the more practical stuff, and then some of the other heterim of tochein. But thank you everyone for coming.